Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at The Amazing Spider-Man by Nick Spencer and team. Let's go.
It got worse. That should be the exact same tempo.
Thickness too. It's kind of nice.
Extra reverb.
Issue one.
Yeah.
You like the who's who.
I mean, you see that right there and you think, maybe this is a good one to reintroduce people to Spider-Man.
Sinister Six Plus.
Yeah. Who? Okay, I don't know all of these. Okay, we got Rhino. We've got Vulture. We've got Mysterio. We have Venom. Who's the dude in green?
You know who that is.
Oh, is that Scorpion?
Yeah.
And is there somebody else? Oh, I bet you it wraps around to the back page.
Yeah.
Because we see if... Oh, okay, there's more. And we got Electro, and we have... What's his face? Flint Marko.
Yeah, a.k.a.
I don't remember what his actual name is.
Sandman.
And then we have Lizard and Kraven.
The whole squad's here, yo.
Oh, but this looks like... Is that a female Electro?
Yes. I don't know what her name is.
Cool. All right, anyway.
Sweet trivia. How goes it, my comic book friends?
It's just as good as it was when you asked me at the beginning of last episode because it was approximately 1 hour ago.
I mean, things could have gone really bad in that hour.
In that time, we recorded an episode, I used the restroom, so yeah. I'm feeling pretty good.
Ooh. Tell me how your experience in my restroom was.
It was good.
Yeah. I almost said just now, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
And that's enough.
Well, I mean, you did say something.
Yeah.
It just wasn't the same.
Just
you
know that
thinking.
If this were Two Man After Dark, we would have got some lols, some LOLs.
Nice.
We are covering The Amazing Spider-Man.
If you want to hear Two Man After Dark, then you should join our Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon.com/Two Man Comic Book Club.
Yeah. We're still waiting for y'all to give us some money. Come on now. I'm excited about this one. I'm considering carrying on reading it. This is the most modern Spider story we've covered in this Spider Month. Mm-hmm. Nick Spencer is one of the cool writers doing stuff for Marvel right now. I don't know if he's doing anything for DC. If he is, I would check it out. He tells a cool story here. We're just doing the first five issues, and there's way more out than that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how far it goes on Marvel Unlimited, but this might even... No, this is for sure not ongoing. But there's more than five issues.
Yeah.
We're
stopping at five because that's when the beginning or back to basics mini arc ends.
Right. We just want to give you a little story. This whole Spider-Man month is kind of just giving some little vignettes.
This was another one that popped up whenever I gurgled top Spidey stories. So we're just...
This one, we won't get into the thick of it just yet, but it also deals with what makes Spider-Man Spider-Man a little bit.
Yeah.
In some varying ways, and maybe looking at both sides of that coin.
Do you have any idea what he's talking about since you haven't read it?
No.
Okay. I was wondering if that just gave it all away.
No, I was just winking at the camera for our listeners at home.
Wink.
Speaking of, if you didn't know, we also put this show on YouTube. It's pretty cool. We put the panels up in here. You get to see how nice my beard looks, and you get to see how nice
how
Drew's face
my beard
looks. It's beautiful. You can like this video, you can subscribe to it, even you can leave comments on it, you can share it with a friend, you can embed it on your Facebook. Lots of cool things you can do with
embed
YouTube
it on
video.
Your face.
Yeah, you can put this whole video on your face, sear it into your brain. We would love it if you would like and subscribe. Also, if you would be so kind to leave a review of this podcast on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else that you can leave reviews, that goes a long way to helping us grow our brand, getting it out there. Coming up on episode 100.
Which we, technically, I think we've already passed it because we're talking about renumbering because there are random minisodes that I opted to not put a number on and I should have. So this is probably episode 102 already. But
is it really?
I don't know.
What are we celebrating?
We're going to celebrate the actual 100. Let's not renumber until we're past that. And that way, whenever people who find it in 5 years from now and they're binging from the beginning and they get to... Why are you celebrating number 100? This is number 105.
Yeah, it'll make sense. If you go and look at the numbering scheme we have going on right now on wherever you listen to podcasts, and you have any sort of OCD, your skin's going to start kind of being scratchy, itchy.
Because, like, yeah, if you go on Apple Podcasts, it'll have like a number and then my number, and right. it's not the same. Overcast doesn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, so Google Podcasts, I don't think, did that.
Yeah. I don't know what the solution, because it can be, I mean, it's confusing for me when I go back to try to reference something.
You have to call number one. So if you put a trailer on there,
right,
that's number one, even right. though it's really episode zero. It's weird.
You know, Apple, just to get things in order for themselves, skipped the iPhone 9. There was an 8, and then the same year they released the X, which was their 10, and they've just kind of gone from the scheme. And I wonder if just at what we call number 100, the very next episode, we just, whatever it lines up with on Apple Podcasts is what the number is now.
Okay, so we go from 100 to 105 probably.
Sure, yeah.
Because I think there were at least 3 or 4 minutes. Yeah,
I feel like that's a much more reasonable undertaking than going back.
It's literally the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't have to dig through Podbean.
Yeah.
It's just, hey, we have a new number.
Yeah, and then we can make a tier in our Patreon. If you give us $1,000 a month, we will go back and retroactively change the number of everything.
Yes, to your face.
To your face, just an emojicon of your face.
So also, yeah, join our Discord. We'd love it if you did that.
Yeah.
Find us on Twitter at Two Man Comic Book with the number 2. Instagram, Two Man Comic Book Club. Just gurgle, Two Man Comic Book Club.
Yeah.
Like we said, patreon.com/Two Man Comic Book Club.
Yep. Just want to point out that Rodney's superpower is working in full swing.
Of course it is.
He just sent me a text message and we are recording.
That's twice today.
Yeah. Good job, man. You can find
me.
Do
we have a name for that? Do we have a name for that ability yet? Hey, Rodney, when you get to this episode, while you're listening, just jump on the Discord. Pitch us a few ideas for what you want to be called. For this power of yours, or let us know if we've already given you a superhero name or villain. Maybe you're a villain.
Yeah. Man, I just had a funny thought. I won't say it here either. You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman. Yeah, I put all my social handles in the same thing. That's how you find me. Tori, where can they find you?
You can find me at Torrance Watkins on Twitter.
And that's it.
I love just the pause.
Yeah.
I am not synchronous. I am not synergistic with my naming protocols on social media. So just go to DrewMorrisMusic.com.
You'll find all this cool stuff and some music.
Some music. Some,
or you like music,
some videos. My album.
Yeah.
My blog.
All the things.
My blog. My vlog. My music. My music.
Yeah. We are going to do another What You've Been Reading, Yo, even though this is the same day as
but
we recorded
I saved
last episode.
Mine.
Drew saved his, and I have some stuff just to talk about, though. So, Drew, what you been reading, yo?
Preacher, yo.
This is another one that is a spicy meatball.
Definitely. This is what one of the gifts that I got from Torrance for Two Man Christmas by Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon. I've read about the first 6 or 7 of them, and I will definitely say 'tis spicy.
Yes.
Lots of dirty words.
Ooh.
And also just lots of, this is probably the most gory comic book I've read. I mean, it's not like I read it and I go, oh, it's just, there's a lot of people that get shot in the head. I'm just going to say that. So. Anyway, it's good. And this is another one where if you listen to the last episode, I said I couldn't give away too much, or I couldn't say too much without giving away, because part of the joy of this, I felt, was just discovering what on earth was going on with it. So like, you have an idea that something weird's happening, but over the course of the first issue, which is a pretty long one in here, I think the first issue was 50 pages long, but it gives you a lot of info. So yeah, I'm not going to give it away. This is another one that if we can ever talk about it on a more mature
after dark book,
more mature episode than we can. But thank you, Torrance. I'm digging it so far.
Yeah. Cool. I didn't read anything, but I just want to jump on and say, I've talked about this a little bit. If you're looking for something to add to your pull list, please pick up Human Target. The first 3 issues are out. It's so good. Tom King, Greg Smallwood. The art is incredible. The storytelling is wonderful. I just like it a lot. Maybe it's just me being a Tom King fanboy, which I unapologetically am. I'm going to get that tattooed on my body somewhere. Tom King fanboy.
I unapologetically am.
Yeah. Just check it out. It's really cool. Not many of you, I would imagine, know who the Human Target is. It's a DC character. He's been around for a long time. Tom King.
He showed up in the Arrowverse TV shows, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah. He's so good at taking just characters that are relatively not popular and just breathing new life into them where I care about them. It's awesome. He did it with Mr. Miracle. He did it with The Vision. But he does some stuff with big characters too. He did Batman. I think he's doing Batman Catwoman right now. I'm not even reading that. I should be. I'm so sorry, Tom. I know you listen. That's it for me. Tori, any additions to what you have been reading? Yo.
No. No, I haven't read anything since the last time we talked.
I thought in your bathroom break you slammed a few trades.
Novels. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well then, are you ready to move on?
We can get on to getting on. Let me find this.
Legacy number 802, but number one for this reboot of 2018.
Our listeners what those legacy numbers are?
Go for it.
I don't know if this is also for DC. Is this just a Marvel thing?
I don't think I've ever seen legacy numbers.
Okay, so for Marvel, you will have a comic book. And at this point, there have been a lot of comics and a lot of different stories, a lot of runs. So to make sense of it all and the continuity of all Spider-Man comics, for example, there is a legacy number, which means this is the 802nd comic of Spider-Man that has ever been written. But in this story, in this run, it's issue number one, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So you can always kind of get a ballpark.
Marvel's
idea
gotten pretty big into doing that, like so that people can keep snatching up number ones. And I think typically number ones are a good jumping on point. So it's like
they are
easier for somebody to be like, all right, I'm going to start with this one as opposed to number 801.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Cause it's way better than it used to be for me, but it's still intimidating to jump in somewhere, find a good spot where you're not completely lost. So legacy numbers for the people that have been collecting, cause they're out there. There are people that are like, I want every Spider-Man issue. Mm-hmm. Cool. Now 802, it's easy to reference, but, gotta give new readers a living chance to jump on and enjoy some of these comics. Anyway, I started reading the team. I found the page that we started talking. I swiped away from it. Now I'm finding it again. This is a Nick Spencer book with pencils by Ryan Ottley, inks by Cliff Rathburn, colors by Laura Martin, and letters by VC's Joe Caramanga. The cover was done by Ryan and Laura on this team. And then they did a special thanks to Matt Fraction and Salvador La Roca. Don't know why. Maybe they just consulted on the book.
Yeah.
It just says special thanks. Anyway, Drew, do you want to send us down the rabbit hole?
I just took some quick notes of all this, so I will just go through that if you'd like, and you can stop me when you want to.
I will.
Because my notes aren't by page. They're just like
fine.
the big points.
There's lots of cover here. Again, new flow of Two-Man. We're covering the big points. We need you to read it. This is a book club, yo.
Yeah. I will say that there's 50 or like 45 pages mm-hmm. for this first one, and I have like 8 bullet points. So I mean, like, that's how high I'm looking. So to start off with, the first thing that we see, well, actually, I should look. Yeah, he's talking to MJ, whatever. That wasn't in my notes, but he's in his black suit. I don't know the relevance of this.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not important. So is this... No, okay, that was Spider-Man Blue where he says, good always follows bad.
Correct.
And we never mentioned it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so anyway... To open the book, my bullet point number one, Spidey starts talking about how he has roommates, and one of them happens to be a supervillain.
Yes.
Boomerang, which I think is hilarious. Yeah. Like, I guess he knows who he is, but Boomerang doesn't know who he is. Yeah. So it's just...
And even their roommate life is the equivalent of, like, Peter's the good guy, and Boomerang is a very inconsiderate roommate. Now, Peter knows Boomerang is who he is. Mm-hmm. The opposite is not true. Boomerang is not aware that he's rooming with Spider-Man.
And they have another guy who's in their room in their apartment. I don't know his importance.
Yeah.
But this is something that glimpses us into the fact, okay, so we are currently...
Randy Robertson's his name, so okay. Randy, if we need to reference him again.
We are currently not married. So Peter and MJ are not married. They are a couple, as we saw from the very first page, mm-hmm. but they are not married. So that's that. All right. And we jump in and he's kind of just talking about everybody's mad at him.
Yeah.
For, I can't remember exactly what they said, but like we just get dropped right into a big giant Avengers fight with a bunch of weird face sucker aliens.
Yeah. These bugs.
Did he say, do you remember him saying specifically why it was that everybody was angry?
I don't.
Because all it said was like, I mean,
everybody's kind of giving him the cold shoulder in this fight though.
And he does mention that he went to go, like he was pursuing some villain and Kingpin was there and like, who, you know, has been his perennial villain. And Kingpin is there to give him this key to the city.
Right.
And like Spider-Man refuses it and he zips out of there because he thinks it's all some trick, which it actually is, you know. Mm-hmm. Kingpin's like, well, I've tried it all of these other ways. So maybe I can get to him by being, you know,
right.
Two-faced. So anyway, he's doing this and we keep kind of jumping from the Avengers fight to all these other spots. And he's giving a little, helping, I think it's just the Daily Bugle, where there's a presentation about this new plagiarism checker. Mm-hmm. And as an example, the person who's up there, is it Betsy Brandt? Is that the...
Betty Brandt?
Yeah. Betty or whatever. She's the one that is doing that video or the presentation thing. Sorry.
I'm trying to catch up with you where you are in your panels.
I have no idea where I am. Oh, Cindy. Cindy Lawton. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they were like, hey, we're going to bring up Peter and we're going to run one of your stories through this. And he's revealed to be, you know, mm-hmm. they're like, you've been, you know, this was plagiarized. So, right. And then Peter kind of goes into it and is like, well, technically... You know, yeah, this paper that I wrote in college was actually written by Dr. Otto Octavius whenever he took over my body.
Right.
And yeah, I didn't admit to that because how can you? And I still accepted my degree, you know. And the real thing is, it's not that, that's not the kicker. The kicker is that I could have nailed that class, but
he had all the information.
I had all the information, but I didn't fess up. So I technically didn't earn it. So anyway, as a result of that, you know, he loses a job at the Daily Bugle. Like all these things just start cascading.
That can't be why, right? The Avengers aren't mad at Peter because of plagiarism.
It's something else. These are two unrelated things.
Yeah. Maybe that's a previous story thing that happens before this run on Spider-Man.
Yeah, it must be.
I just wish they would have given us an editor note like, see Amazing Spider-Man issue.
Well, I mean, it says like it's... Something. Right here, it's hard to blame him, you know, and that's when it cuts back to the Kingpin thing. So I'm thinking right. that there might be more there that I just don't remember.
Yeah, if you know, if you're an avid Spider-Man listener, reach out and let us know what we're missing here.
But I will say, despite him going on and on about how everybody's mad at him, by the next issue, I feel like it's less of an issue.
Sure.
So I don't know. Maybe it's not that important or they're just trying to get out of it.
He's basically in hot water with everybody because of this plagiarism thing, though. That's not an Avenger, though. Like they're mad at him. They're upset. He loses his job because he lost all credibility. Mm-hmm. Aunt May doesn't believe him.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
So anyway, then we kind of jump back to this Avengers fight and he notices that there's like a pattern to these aliens, these things that are attacking. Mm-hmm. And he kind of traces it back to its origin. And there, who do we find? But Mysterio pulling all the strings. So they have a quick fight and he quickly wraps him up and hangs him out. And everything's, you know, okay. But what does it say? Then we get a little bit of a backstory because that's kind of how the issue seems like it wraps. That's when you get your title sequence, but we kind of have a few post credit type things. Mm-hmm. We get a little backstory on Mysterio. And do you know who this bug guy is?
I don't know either.
I tried to look through and find his name, but I didn't remember what it was anyway. And then we finally rejoin Peter and he is being sent back to Empire State University. He thinks he's in trouble, but it turns out they're welcoming him so that he can actually finish his degree properly. And so like, he thinks that he's in trouble, but it's that lady that outed him as a plagiarist and he opens the door and like welcoming him to his class and the lizard is up there and that's kind of where it ends. But Alex, you have something?
What issue are you on?
That's issue one.
What page does that happen on? Because I have issue one ending as him finally making it official again with Mary Jane. Is that like the second part of that?
I mean, mine keeps going like this.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's where the issue ends, isn't it?
No.
Well, what is... So the title page on page 29?
Yeah.
What is that considered?
Well, that's just... I think it's kind of done, but there's still more here. And I would think it was just like bonus content of them giving us the backstory of Mysterio and this other dude until we get to this part where we're back at Empire State University.
Okay. I was just confused about how that all worked then. Okay. That all makes sense. As long as everybody was following, I wasn't.
Okay. It's just a post-credit scene.
Yeah.
That's all it amounting to.
Okay.
We see that the lizard is his professor. I spoiled it. But the lizard's there, and Peter jumps into overdrive thinking that something
bad. Yeah, he sees somebody amongst these kids, but he's not in his Spidey suit, so he can do that. Okay, my bad for taking us out of the flow.
That's fine. All right, so, but anyway, that's that.
Issue two.
So when we leave issue one, things are not so great.
Yeah, but he is back with MJ.
Yeah.
Officially for the first time in a while. They've been off and on, but for now they feel like maybe they can actually make it work.
So... Issue two, the next several issues are going to open with kind of like a seemingly random safari fight scene.
Yeah.
You know, not a fight scene, a hunting scene. Mm-hmm. So it's just like one panel. And then we see that we jump back into Peter, and he is as Spider-Man fighting some street-level book thieves who are apparently at a book fair stealing first editions.
Yeah, he mentions kind of like ridiculous. How D-list they are and how lame it is. It's like, okay, you're stealing first edition books.
Yeah, it's kind of silly that then the people there are grateful for him, so they give him a few copies of books, and then he gives them to the people.
Right, because he's like, you guys are going to have a lot of time for reading where you're going.
So anyway, then we kind of finally get back to resume where we were. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some Peter and MJ loving each other type stuff. And then we are back at Empire State University, and we pick up where that scene left off with the lizard. And we find out actually that the doctor is there, and he kind of has control over
Dr. Connor,
his transformation. And he kind of zips back into his human form. And he's just saying, I'm a professor here. I'm working on some stuff, and, you know, I'd like your help.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, okay. And Peter's kind of taken aback for a second.
They kind of hint at him like, hey, we're giving you a second chance. It stands that we would give Dr. Connor a second chance. He donated a lot of his patents to us and, you know, he's a changed man. Mm-hmm.
So now the big thing happens that's going to kind of push us through the next few issues. Dr. Connor shows the isotope genome accelerator, which in this thing, apparently that was the device that caused Peter to get his powers. It shows a flashback picture to a spider that has bit him while he was in the presence of this isotope accelerator. So Peter's like, oh yeah, I'm real familiar with that.
Yeah. And they're trying to reverse engineer it, right?
They're so trying to make it
remove the lizard from Dr. Connors is the goal.
So that's kind of what all of the settings are set to. And at that exact moment, Taskmaster and Black Ant, I'd never heard of Black Ant before. He's
way less known than Taskmaster for sure.
But they both pop in and look like they're there to steal the isotope generators, what it seems like, or at least just cause havoc. I can't remember if they actually go into it, but before they're able to do anything, Peter's like, oh man, I need to cause a distraction because I need to take care of these guys, but... Mm-hmm. There's nowhere that I can change. So he uses some of his science know-how to web some different test tubes.
Like a smoke bomb.
Yeah, makes a smoke bomb. And then he pops out as Spider-Man and starts quipping like his normal self, fighting people, and very quickly dispatches both of these, which kind of surprised me because I thought Taskmaster should have given up a tougher fight.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, it is Spider-Man, you know. Arguably one of the best, but still.
But then again, at the later on in the story, we'll get a little bit more insight into some of this. So maybe, maybe Taskmaster was making a show of it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so as he finally gets him webbed up, and he bends over, Peter Parker kind of bends over. Oh, there's a scene when Lizard's like, "How'd you get in here? All the doors are closed."
Right. And, like, how does Spider-Man know where this place is?
And he
was?
Makes some comment about, like, some sort of spider teleportation or whatever. And then Spider-Man bends over and helps this guy up. And then we see that it's Peter Parker. So, like, we have both Spider-Man and Peter Parker in two separate bodies.
In the same room.
In the same room talking to each other. And it's just kind of like, bum, bum, bum. Yeah. That's how it ends.
Right. So, just in case you were not clear, that was not the case before they walked in. Like, yes. They're the same person when they walk in the room.
Big
now
surprise.
They're both in there.
Here in 2018, we're finally going to realize that Spider-Man and Peter Parker are two separate people.
Right.
And they've always been in the same room. No, right. Just kidding. Yeah, it was apparently something happened that we will get info in on the next one.
Correct.
Yeah, let's just go one more.
Yep.
So, once again, number three starts, and we have another vignette of the dude on the safari, and he kills an elephant and is excited, but the guy that's with him suddenly grows a knife out of the front of his chest. And then we jump back to New York, where Peter and MJ are bowling. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny that Peter's really bad at it.
Yeah.
But at some point, some people show up, a little bit of party, and somebody's phone, I think, goes off about a disturbance downtown. And MJ's like, Peter, don't you need to go take care of that? And just very heavily, he's like, I don't. And he just steps up and starts bowling. And, you know, I think I'm not looking at that exact page, but there's a moment where we kind of step back and we check in on the actual fight. You know, what is happening downtown? Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man's there.
A Tri-Sentinel.
A Tri-Sentinel. It said those were made by Loki?
I think so. I think Nick Spencer has a knack for like pulling in maybe some deep cuts every once in a while. I don't know when that happened, but this looks like a Sentinel from the X-Men.
It has three heads.
But it has like a three-head thing, and it has
one head, but three faces.
Six arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, one head, three faces, six arms, two legs, giant robot.
Yeah.
It's definitely a very big comic book moment. Like, this feels like a comic book.
Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, we see this, and Spider-Man's swooping in trying to take care of it.
Spider-Man swooping in.
I'm going to refer exclusively to Peter Parker as Peter Parker, Spider-Man as Spider-Man.
Yeah, right now there are two different entities, and that's important.
So anyway, we have a flashback that goes back, picks up exactly where the lab scene at the end of the last issue left off. Mm-hmm. And we have Spider-Man and Peter Parker talking like, maybe we should figure this out. So they like zip off together. And it's funny, there's a scene of them trying to compare it like, make sure that each other's legit. Because these are comic books. Things like this happen. Clones, holograms, shapeshifters, whatever. Yeah, so, and I loved the scene where they have like five or six panels in a row of them trying to determine who's there by doing rock, paper, scissors. And every single time they throw scissors.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that settles it.
Right, yeah, that's the thing that actually convinces them.
But anyway, they kind of just talk and we realize, okay, so apparently the isotope accelerator went off.
Yeah.
In this mess, and we were around there, and it was programmed to separate animal genomes from human genomes, and that's exactly what it did. So now there's two of us,
right.
And they're both kind of like, maybe this is what we've always wanted.
Right.
Now we get to be both.
They can have their cake and eat it too, essentially, is what they're thinking at the first place. Like, this is a good thing. You can go be with Mary Jane.
Exactly.
And I can be Spider-Man. I can save the day, and I don't have to worry about running off and what it means to my loved ones.
And then he zips off, and then we go back into the Back to the Future, and Spider-Man is fighting the Tri-Sentinel, and he kind of remembers things about some of his scientific know-how, and he just gets in, like digs in, and starts reprogramming this thing. Mm-hmm. And then now the Sentinel is no longer attacking because he has control of it, and he's riding it like a giant rocket, and that's just kind of how it ends,
right?
You know.
Well, we also see that. In the lab, Dr. Connors has run that experiment. So he doesn't know what happened. Nobody does except for Peter and Spider-Man. He ran the test on a rat.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of imply like, okay, so now there's two rats. And Peter's like been called in. And he was like, oh, that's interesting, knowing that it does work. Yeah. And he's like, well, what's really interesting is this rat went through this maze first. And he did it very successfully. We trained him. He was really good at making it through this maze and getting the cheese. The second rat now is also really good, but the first one is not. Mm-hmm. And then we also kind of explored right before this that even though there's two Peter Parker, there's a Spider-Man and a Peter Parker now, those are different things. Peter Parker doesn't have the Spidey skills. He doesn't, he can't climb walls. He can't jump. He doesn't have the strength. It showed him like struggling to carry groceries up, like heavy groceries. Yeah. Like he's out of shape. Not like, like visibly, but he just doesn't have it anymore. And they kind of lean onto that, that something happened when the second one was created that it lost part of itself.
Yeah.
And the second one may or may not have lost something that was retained in the first one. Yeah. So a little bit of foreshadowing there.
But maybe we'll take a quick break and before we jump back on issue four.
Yep. We'll be right back. And we're back with Amazing Spider-Man issue four, back to basics. Drew, keep on keeping on.
So we get introduced, the first panel once again is the guy from the safari, but this time he's running from some unknown source through the woods, and that was it. Then we actually drop into what we've been doing, and we meet a new guy. Well, he was new to me. Maybe you've heard of him, but he quickly introduces himself as Mendel Strom, and he appears to be the guy who is, if not the creator, at least currently responsible for the actions of the Tri-Sentinel.
Yes, he's another pretty obscure Spider-Man villain.
I love it. He pulls out a CD-ROM. It's like, yours, Tri-Sentinel, and you, or something like that. And he's basically trying to watch it to figure out how to get it back under his control. And the thing crashes. Yeah. Like the CD-ROM crashes in the middle of it.
Disc. Yeah. Brought me back.
So anyway, and then we jump back quickly after that to see Spider-Man once again riding the reprogrammed Tri-Sentinel, but he has the primary face painted with a Superman mask. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. And we see some quick scenes in quick succession of Spider-Man, you know, being Spider-Man, foiling the bad guy, doing all this stuff, but he's like super reckless about it now. Like he is destroying property. He's like just very callous about how he's attacking things, and he just doesn't seem to care about it. Like he's taking sponsorships. Mm-hmm. He's doing all these PR spots. Like he is living it up.
Yeah. So if you think about this, this is what we were talking about earlier, how there's kind of two sides of Spider-Man and Peter Parker. They're implying now that maybe even though Spider-Man, not Peter Parker, got all of the great powers, that he did not get the great responsibility.
Yep.
And that stuck with Peter Parker, because it also alludes that now on the flip side of that, Peter Parker can't stop.
Oh yeah. He's trying to help people even though he has no need, no reason to, like all these things.
Yeah. He's like going out of his way to like try to pay people's parking meters and like
goes to jail for it.
He goes to jail for doing that. Apparently he's stopping and changing people's tires. He's helping people cross the road. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, those are all good things to help people, but he's doing it to the extreme where it's like becoming a, he can't not help no matter what.
Yeah. And so anyway, one of the other things that the new Spidey appears to have started doing is Uber Hero. It's like Uber, but with a superhero where you can basically hire him to zip you around the city.
Right.
So Peter hires him. Like he downloads the app and, you know, Spider-Man stops and he's like, oh, I'm not carrying you. But finally, as he's about to zip away, Peter makes a comment. He's like, I may not have the spider skills, but I still have my web slinger.
I still know how to use it.
Yeah. So he like, he uses it to attach himself to this guy as they zip off. And he's just trying to talk to him about it. You know, like, look, this is a problem. We need to fix it. Is this where Spider-Man leaves him? Stuck to the wall.
Like basically he's like, we need to put ourselves back together. And he makes the same argument. That he's like, you got all the power. I've got all the responsibility. This is an actual problem. We need to put this back together. And Spider-Man's like,
is this where he mentions Ben or is that later?
Yes, right here.
Yeah. So he makes a comment. He's just like, what would Ben say? What would Uncle Ben say? And Spider-Man's like, why do you keep talking about this amazing flavored rice? You know?
That one is actually in the next issue, I think. But he just says who?
Yeah.
Like he doesn't know who
Uncle
Ben is because that stayed with Peter Parker.
Yeah. So then we cut over to see another development with the rats. Mm-hmm. And apparently they both died because one can't survive without the other.
Yeah.
Much like Harry Potter and Voldemort.
Yeah.
Actually, it's the other way around, isn't it? Neither can live while the other survives. Forget it.
Or prophecy.
Then we kind of see it ending. We go back to Mendel, and he's like, well, I can't figure out how to reprogram that one, but why even bother? There's more where that came from. And you see this issue end with Mendel riding back into battle with a whole fleet of Tri-Sentinels. Yeah.
And there was a voice talking to him during that whole time, but we don't really know who that was.
Yeah. So then we go to 5, and this is the first one that doesn't start with a... Is this the final issue?
Yeah. 5, yes. The final one we're covering today.
This is the first one that we've seen in a while that doesn't start with a safari thing. So apparently that's over, but we do start by basically seeing Peter Parker laying, bleeding in a pile of rubble. And just like, how did we get there? But it's just kind of showing us something that's going to come soon.
Right.
Then we kind of jump back to Peter starting to try to figure out, like, so I know I need this isotope genome accelerator, but I can't get in there and get it. You know, nobody's going to cover. Yeah. So, and it shows him considering talking to Black Cat to go. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of, in
he's like, she could steal it.
Yeah. And then he was like, wait a minute. I have a roommate who's a master thief.
Yeah.
So it shows him kind of like talking to the other roommate very loudly about like, oh yeah, I can't believe this thing's worth so much money.
And it's not guarded right now. I wonder if anybody's going to try to steal it.
Yeah. So, and then sure enough, next panel, basically we see Boomerang going in there to get
steal it.
And it shows him like carrying it in a cardboard box, putting it in the back of a van. And he's kind of saying, I don't know why Peter said it was hardly even, you know, guarded. There were lots of guards there.
Yeah. But he also didn't mention how heavy this thing was.
Yeah. And Peter did say he specifically let slip when there were going to be the least amount of guards so that maybe Boomerang wouldn't hurt people.
Right.
But like, as he's sitting it in there, Peter just zips off because apparently he's driving the van.
Yeah.
I don't know if he offered to drive the getaway car or if he just
knew. Followed. He talks about having spider tracers.
He still had spider tracers.
So he tracked him and he got in the van and he took it. So now he has the weapon he needs to get Spider-Man back into his own body.
So anyway, he takes it and he's trying to convince Spider-Man of what's going on, and Spider is not hearing it. But in the middle of this, the Tri-Sentinels attack, the fleet of them. And during that, Peter gets hurt, and that's whenever he falls, and we see him lying in rubble like the very first panel we saw on the page.
Right. And we see a picture of this guy who was talking to the guy who's making all the Tri-Sentinels. I still don't know who this is. He looks like a mummy, blue... I don't know who it is. For a little bit, I thought it was Norman Osborn. They were kind of like hinting that it might have been. Yeah. But if you know who this is, let me know, because I haven't read any of the really recent stuff.
Show me that. Show me which one.
Depict this guy.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
He's the one that's kind of been behind hiring Taskmaster and Black Ant and then getting this guy in the trance. He seems to be
at least
pulling the strings.
At least right that's now. What we think.
Right.
So anyway, so while this all happens, you know, Spider-Man looks on. He's like, man, this... He starts to realize that he's forgetting things, like losing things. And he's like, you know, maybe Peter's right.
Yeah.
Maybe we do need to merge back. And one of those things where I'm just like, okay, just suspend the disbelief, comic book.
Yeah.
Instead of like properly calibrating this thing, Peter just uses his web slinger to pull the isotope accelerator down on top of them. And it just explodes. And of course it works.
And well, we should also say right before that, when the Tri-Sentinels are attacking, Peter actually saves Spider-Man. Like he had turned off his spider sense.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he said that. You can do that? He's like, oh, but it hurts.
Turned it off, which just again shows like how irresponsible he was. He's like, all these like urges to go save people was just getting in the way of me doing my thing. So
he actually saves him. Like watching TV.
Right. Yeah. And that's what makes Spider-Man slow down enough. And he's like trying to make sure Peter's okay for once, that he's actually able to trigger the thing to come and actually merge them back together.
So anyway, once they're merged, Spider-Man, that is Peter Parker.
Yeah, they're one person again.
They get back in there and he was just like, well, I reprogrammed one of them. Maybe I can reprogram all of them.
Yeah, and the Tri-Sentinels, that is.
Yeah, so he does that and basically return to Cinder. They follow it back to the source where it kind of goes in and they find Mendel, who is laying there dying.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just kind of, it seems as if he was like, okay, well, this is over. This is all that we have to worry about. And I think, does it cut back now? We see MJ and him. Things are kind of fine.
Yep.
They're back to normal.
He's still kind of thinking. He got a sense that, you know, his troubles are just getting started.
Yeah. And then we have, once again, kind of a post-credit scene. Mm-hmm. This time, the coda for this back-to-basics story.
Yeah.
Taskmaster and Black Ant, I didn't think I said the right word, and the Black Ant are being interrogated by some, it's not S.H.I.E.L.D., It's some, do you have the name
of what they're called? The Department of Homeland Security MetaHuman Advanced Technology Division, or DHESMETAD.
Speaking of, MetaHuman is like the MetaHuman is very, is like the common term in DC.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard it in Marvel before?
I think I have.
Okay. I mean, I've heard enhanced.
I could also just be like projecting that on there because I've heard it in DC. I couldn't point out
Where
I've heard
when it. I read it there, I was just kind of, my spidey sense went off. I was just like, okay. Yeah. Anyway, they're talking, and as they're doing this, somebody busts them out, you know, like the wall explodes. Right. They were like, you know, you've been doing this long enough. You should know to never interrogate bad guys in a room that has an outer wall, you know, that leads to the outside. The wall gets blown out and there's like a floating vehicle of some sort. And as Taskmaster and Black Ant get off, they say, you're silly. You know, it's not like the isotope accelerator was our real target. Mm-hmm. The man who hired us has other intentions.
Yes.
And then that's whenever we cut to, once again, this was not intentional. We did not pick these three stories because of this, but we find out apparently the one who's been pulling the strings this entire story is also Kraven
the Hunter.
So
yeah,
he was the guy that we saw in the safari scenes, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. So I, because of that, smelled that coming from 10 miles away. Like, we're just coming back to this safari hunting thing. It's not going to be anybody else. They tend to stick to their villains. So I will say this. I said this earlier when we were setting up. Like, this just slightly cheapens Kraven's last hunt for me. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that they're not going to bring back all these great characters because they got to sell comic books and people. And sure, maybe there's a way to keep telling good stories. But when you read them, when you start reading Kraven the Hunter and you get the full weight of him saying, I'm done hunting, I'm not doing this, and then he kills himself. Mm-hmm. It's just big dramatic moment, and then you read three stories in a row with Kraven the Hunter hunting.
Yeah.
It absolutely takes some of the weight out of it.
Chronologically, at least in the terms of Marvel.
Of us reading this and Marvel,
yeah. Afterwards, yeah.
Yeah,
it was Kraven's last hunt was in the 90s, right? 80s, 90s?
87.
Then Spider-Man Blue was 02.
Yep.
And this is 2018. Yeah. So, I mean,
I'm pretty sure the next thing we read does not have Kraven the Hunter in it. We'll find out. But I'll just say, I mean, it's fine. Like, comic book characters never actually stay dead. They may be dead for a few years, but they bring them back. But it is nice when they keep, you know, I've said the same thing about the MCU. Like, I hope to God they don't snap their fingers and bring back Tony Stark and completely cheapen the sacrifice he made in Endgame. There are ways to go about, you know, doing that without bringing those characters back. It's harder to do, I guess, with the comic books, you know, unless you want to just keep making new supervillains, which they do, but, you know, then you're fighting, like, people, why do I care about this new person when there's always established heroes and villains that I can be pulling from? Anyway, I just wanted to drop that in there. Overall, I think this was an interesting idea. I like that they split up Spider-Man and Peter Parker and, like, showed that, oh, you know, it is kind of, we caught lightning in a bottle with this person getting bitten, you know, having a responsibility to take care of others actually does reel in the otherwise crazy abilities of just super strength and power and, you know, maybe joking a little too much, taking things seriously. So he has a responsibility to do good, and it was interesting. I haven't read any more of this. So
I haven't either. But this one and also One More Day are both good setups for, you know, new kind of reboot moments. So
yeah.
You got a few options. If you've enjoyed what we've done with Spidey Month so far, you know, these are your options. Do we want to go ahead and just drop the ball on what's happening next week? So for the next, our final one, since it has five.
you said drop the ball, like we're not going to make it work.
Drop the reveal. Yeah. So we've given you four different Peter Parker stories. Mm-hmm. So for next week, we're still looking for which one it's going to be, but we're going to be giving you some Miles Morales, Spider-Man, because those are some awesome stories. So we're still kind of debating which exact story that's going to be. If you have any thoughts, like if you happen to really dig Miles and have some preferred things that you'd like to hear us talk about, join the Discord and let us know.
Yep, for sure. Possibly is not confirmed, but may be looking at the Brian Michael Bendis run from either Ultimates or from 2015-16 after the Secret Wars post-Secret Wars reboot. Both really good ones. And there's some other ones too. There's a lot of options.
The straight up origin's good.
Yeah, we're going to read some options and we'll decide and let you know the Discord we're going to read. So. Overall, what did you guys think of this one?
I liked it. I mean,
yeah.
It was funny reading it so soon after these other stories where so much similar ground is being covered.
Right.
But yeah, I still enjoyed it. Another glimpse into various characters.
Yeah, I always feel like I'm letting you down a little bit, the listener, like just kind of catching. I really do hope that at least some of you are going and reading these comic books and not just like, oh, comic books suck. These guys are just summarizing it in 5 seconds and there's no content, there's no weight, nothing happens. It's exciting. There's so much more happening than what we say, but we don't have time to literally just sit here and describe the art and the nuance and read all of the text and the thought bubbles. Like, we're just giving you higher level stuff to just kind of talk about what, you know, some of the interesting points are, and then hope that you're actually reading it first or going back and reading it afterwards and like catching the nuance that actually make them great stories. So what about you, Tori? Man, this one?
No, I enjoyed it. I thought that it was an interesting story. Like a non, I don't want to say non-canonical, but like a, it's its own story that is very interesting.
I think. Yeah. I wouldn't mind like if there was an extended amount of time where Peter Parker and a Spider-Man are out there kind of doing their own thing. Like, they definitely kind of reel it back in pretty quickly, but there's definitely some more stories that could be told there in the future. Or it has multiple man vibes where there's like multiple versions of him just kind of out there in the world living, doing their own thing. You know, there's lots of cool stories that could be told with that. Anyway, y'all ready for some trivia?
Sure.
We're going to jump into our lightning round of trivia where our questions are faster than the isotope splitter that split Peter Parker. It happened so fast to him while he was Spider-Man that he didn't even notice it happened.
Yeah.
Like, he was like surprised when he helped lift himself up out of the rubble.
That's fast.
Pretty dang fast.
So we're currently 3 points for me, 2 points for Alex.
See.
And we have 2 more weeks of this.
Dang. It's going to be a high score.
Well, this one. Yeah.
All right. You want me to go first?
Sure.
Cool. I have another one. Last week we talked about just long comic book runs. Can you tell me what is the longest running author on a comic book series in Marvel? This person wrote on this specific series for a hot minute.
My guess is Chris Claremont.
That is correct.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, on the X-Men.
Yeah.
He was on X-Men and Uncanny X-Men from 1975 to 1991.
Wow, I didn't realize it went that
16
long.
16 years.
Nice.
He's basically like the godfather of the X-Men at this point. I mean, you know, he's kind of responsible for like most modern interpretations of the majority of the core characters for sure. Chris Claremont did a lot of impressive stuff on the X-Men, so that was a fun fact.
Nice.
Cool.
I got 4 points.
Yeah, you did.
So the last 2 points that I got were just total guesses. That one I actually knew.
That's fine. I'm always in it more for just the fun facts.
So my question is Daily Bugle related.
Cool.
Do you know where, in which, you can guess the number or just the franchise. It doesn't really matter. Do you have a guess for where it made its debut?
Like what comic run or series title? I'm going to guess Amazing Fantasy.
No. I thought you might.
Yeah.
It was Fantastic Four.
Oh, interesting.
Number 2.
Wow.
So the Daily Bugle is older than many Spider-Man characters. Yeah. Back in 1962.
Impressive. Yeah. Very cool. All right.
Oh, wait. So let me read this. The newspaper first appeared in Fantastic Four number 2, 1962, and its offices in Amazing Spider-Man, March 63.
Okay, cool. I like that they were already deciding, like, yeah, we're going to cross these over. Because there's also just some crossover with Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four, too. Like, he becomes part of the team for a while.
Yeah.
He's got a bro ship with old Johnny Storm.
Even though at the beginning of this series we just covered, like, they were, like, Johnny was not his fan.
I still want to know what's up with that.
Yeah, I feel like it maybe went into more, and I'm just, since I was just skimming whenever I was writing my notes, I glossed over it.
Tor, you got any trivia?
Yes. Of the 12 actresses who played Aunt May, which one is the hottest?
Wait, hold on. I'm stuck on the fact that there were 12 of them.
I think some of those are animated.
Marissa Tomei, sorry.
I mean, that was my... That's the answer.
Yeah, that's the answer. Okay, so I didn't get completely destroyed. 4-3. I'm really glad I got that last one.
But what if I just happened to be a really big fan of... What was the one from Amazing Spider-Man? What was her name?
No, I'm gonna look it up.
She was on Smoking the Bandit.
A whole bunch of stuff. The Amazing Spider-Man.
She was on Miss Doubtfire.
Where's the cast? Oh, there it is over here. Sally Field.
Sally Field. Yeah, so
that's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said. I heard a name that started with an A.
So did I.
Oh,
I thought you said like Amanda something.
No,
I don't know.
So weird. I was going to
roll
say
back the tape.
Maybe he said, or we thought he said Allie.
Oh, I think
instead of Sally.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. So
maybe you're a Sally Field. I mean, yeah.
There's
going to
be
fan.
Some people who would argue with that.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I think I just won because I said it first.
Yeah, I mean that's who I was thinking. So,
or what if you're just like, what's the Raimi? Spider-Man.
I mean, back in her day, I bet you she was quite
What's
a looker.
Her name? Rosemary Harris. If you are a Rosemary Harris super fan, if she is your Aunt May, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you want to be Tobey Maguire's Uncle Ben, if that's your end game. See what I did there? That's all we got today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast. Once again, like, subscribe, leave reviews on podcasts, share it, find us, hit us up, join the Discord, join the Patreon, interact with us, read more comic books.
Let us know who Aunt May is, your Aunt May.
Yeah, what Aunt May?
Who's Aunt... I don't know what... Grammar's hard. Words are hard.
Yeah, just let us know what Aunt May makes your Peter tingle, and we'll see you next time on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast. Bye! Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
Well, that settles it.